We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame podcast presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Del Mendo. And we are down to one. One game left. This miserable season.
The march to 162 is almost complete.
What was
complete.
Your favorite part of the first 161 games? when I sang Creed last night?
Creed last night, that's possible.
That was a good one.
All the times I said that Yachty is the most overrated baseball player of my life. Oh, so that's like, you know, at least way too, like at least 20 different times.
Me wearing a Hawaiian, that was also a good
first
one.
Hawaiian shirt, yeah.
First yes. Hawaiian shirt in spring training, but just every time, it always looked here. Clean.
When we had all the vibes, which is every show, so
yeah.
Every show's got the vibes.
Yeah. Anyway, hello Rhonda. Always appreciate Rhonda. You here. Also, yeah, Rhonda's the best because she comes in and says hello.
Waves. She always gives the.
She always
wave
says hello and then says our names and then like I just feel like
very polite. Always, yeah, very Rhonda's polite. Very very polite.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We got Lucas
I don't know
in the
if
chat.
She's a mom, but it's like big mom vibes, I feel. So like
Joel, we're going to talk about it.
Joel,
we're
Sean,
talk
Lucas.
About it. Don't jump ahead, Joel. We got to talk about game 161 first, real quick.
Game 161, the biggest 3-2. Game of the year, baby.
The night right. Thompson and Hughes gave up the lead and the Cubs lost.
Yeah, maybe not the scenario you were expecting.
No, right? That was not the scenario we were thinking of. First, Wilson, will that be his final home run in a Cubs uniform?
Many people are starting to think it,
22
man.
22 on the season.
Starting to think it. I think that's kind of been thought for a while.
Anyone with the brain's been thinking it. I don't choose not to have a brain when it comes to
Sean
that
can't offer. Handle this Wilson BS.
we kind of went in depth on it yesterday. I mean, it's just, that's the direction. That's, you know, where the arrow's pointing. That's just, the writing's kind of on the wall. It's just everything you... throw all the cliches out there. Like it feels like it's about to come to an end. I mean, I guess you can never say never. No one ever says never, but
well, you know the Cubs will definitely give out the qualifying offer, and then we'll see.
I expect it to, and
they should because if they don't, they ain't getting no draft pick at least.
And there's every chance he accepts it too, and comes and is you know goes back to the Cubs.
I think I'd be more angry about that if they didn't extend the qualifying offer and didn't even get the draft pick. Oh man, I will come on this podcast and yell some more. Shit.
It's just kind of the position that the Cubs are in right now, that Wilson's in right now. And I guess
and
we just kind of wait to see.
Probably be on the Cardinals next year. Mr. Gordon, stirring the pot again, stirring it up.
He's really good at stirring that butter.
He likes to stir it up. Wilson allegedly reached out to a friend on the Cardinals, got good reports back.
Jose Quintana, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How boring is St. Louis? It's boring, but you still get paid. Okay.
but we still get paid.
We still make money. It's boring. Your money goes a lot further there than it does here. Listen, I don't care where he goes. St. Louis would be a little bit of – St. Louis or Milwaukee would be a little tough to swallow, but
– it's just like, you know okay. – It's just that I think in the end it's just like Wilson, go get paid what you want to be paid, and if I guess if this is the Cardinals that are going to give it to you, what you feel you're worth, like then you know, props to you, good, you know, hats off, you earned it. Like that's kind of what it is.
This is how I feel. Uh-oh. It's big Dexter Fowler vibes. Like,
well, yeah.
Because, and this is not nothing against Wilson. It's just like, why? And this is why I don't even think the Cardinals are even interested. Because why would you go from defensive mind catcher that you've had for 20 years and perhaps is a little overrated? Why would you go from that to bring in an offensive catcher when you already have a team full of offense? They do. They have 2-6 WAR players in their lineup this year, on top of a bunch of other young position players coming up. So why would you add more offense to the offense you already have when clearly they've shown to win with a defensive minded catcher over the last two decades?
Well, I mean, it's
that's the way I look at it.
I mean, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm looking at it as
six top 100 prospects.
If I'm the Cardinals, I'm looking at it as like you see what the Cubs did all year. He DH'd probably at least 50% of his games, if not more. Like he could be your DH, and Cody, we talked about it beforehand. Like if he can play first base, take some, you know, let Paul Goldschmidt get, you know, a few days off, get off his legs a couple times. Like that's another way. I mean, it's like he's not going to be there every single day, 162 or even close to that catcher. Just like he wasn't at all this year. I think that's if you're the Cardinals, that's how you look at it.
Wilson has that kind of pride where he's not going to automatically be your starting catcher catching every day. Well, you think Wilson has that kind of pride?
He did it this year.
This is his chance.
To change the story in the first half.
Go back in the first half. I'd love to know how many games he caught in the first half before the deadline. And then, of course, the second half is hard to tell. He got hurt, so he didn't play. And then going into the deadline, they DH'd him because we all thought they were going to trade him.
I'll have to do some counting.
Guy Finley says, tell your story walking in St. Louis. Are you talking to me like about...
Do you have a story of you walking in St. Louis?
I mean, kind of. I walked when the Blues hosted the Blackhawks on Easter Sunday. It was a playoff game, and I had a blue suit on. I was sideline reporting for the playoff game for NBC, and some old lady was walking by, and she's like, nice blue suit. No, wait, what she said? Nice blue suit, go Blues. And I said, actually, it's Cubby Blue. And she just turned around and just like viciously yelled, rotten hell. I don't know if that's what he's referring to, but I have told that story before. I believe that's what she said, was rotten hell, she told me. I just simply said it wasn't Blues blue, it was Cubby Blue.
Well, I have my story of the guy checking me into my hotel completely just falling asleep in front of me.
That's right.
As I'm waiting to get checked into my room, and then giving me the key to someone else's room as I walk in and the door latch is on, and I'm like, well...
Right.
This isn't good. I run away from the door back down to the elevator. Yeah. Well, it was funny because that dude was sitting down and like...
Did you see somebody in the room?
No. The dude that was at the front desk was sitting down.
But you didn't, like when you went to open the door and it was latched, you didn't see anybody like...
Well, I don't think the lights were on. No, I didn't look. I just like... I opened it and then the latch was on. I'm like, this isn't supposed to happen. So... Yeah, it was no. But then the guy was like sitting down when he fell asleep, and then he stood up, and then when I went back down, he was still standing up. So I'm like, that's how he's trying to keep himself awake just in case it happens again. I don't want to make him feel bad.
St. Louis is not a nice city.
No, I don't know. But
boring.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, I don't really want to see him go there, and I don't want to see him go to Milwaukee. But if that's who pays him the most, so be it. You won't really care if the Cubs improve their team, and that's where he goes.
Yeah, and I mean, again, to me it feels like when Dexter Fowler went to Cardinals after they won the World Series, like the Cubs didn't want to pay him what his market was, and he went to the Cardinals, and you started to see his career start to dip. All the reasons I already said, it just isn't a very Cardinals move to me that they would go and sign Contreras.
I'll agree with that one.
It does not make any sense to me. Of all the years I have to sit and watch this godforsaken franchise ruin my freaking summers, the Cardinals even remotely being interested in Wilson Contreras isn't a typical Cardinals thing. And again, six top 100 prospects, and I'm pretty sure one of them is a catcher. So maybe they want a proven guy to go in there to help groom this next guy, but with all the reports saying he doesn't know how to call games, he doesn't take criticism well, apparently kind of a bad teammate. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So I'll believe it when I see it. Will I be happy if it happens? I mean, I'm not going to like it, And I'm sure Wilson will have some sort of grudge, no matter how much he says he loves the Cubs fans. He will have some grudge with the Cubs front office for not wanting to have a serious conversation about keeping him long term. But from just a player standpoint, I don't blame him.
Well, I agree in the sense that, like, the Cardinals, like, even Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt were trades, and then Arenado got the extension. I don't know if Paul Goldschmidt also signed. He might have signed one. I don't remember. But those are trades. Like, they aren't, like, huge players in free agency, and I guess it depends what the market is for Wilson and Trask, because if it's, like, lower than maybe even Wilson expects, the Cardinals may try to swoop in right there. But as far as going out and getting a big free agent signing, it doesn't often happen in St. Louis.
Yeah. I just think that team needs more pitching than they need offense. Like going into the postseason, yeah, they've been the hottest team in the second half. They also played the easiest schedule in the second half. Like, Jordan Montgomery has been a huge addition for them. He's, like, turned into another person. He's been even, like, 10 times better than he ever was with the Yankees. And Jose Quintana has just continued to have the biggest bounce-back season I've ever seen. Like, they hit gold with both of those, all right? Don't get me started about the Quintana thing.
They hit gold with Ryan Terrio, too, the Ryan.
Like, and Jack Flattery's back. Like, but, like, can they rely on him to be healthy next year? Like, he hasn't been healthy the last couple years. Wainwright is literally almost older than Luke. I mean, what? Like,
yeah,
what
was an uncalled for shot? Just an uncalled for shot.
Like, I'm just saying that team needs pitching.
One
why
game
would they,
left in the season.
Why would they invest more money into offense when they need pitching going forward? If they want to keep this thing moving like they have been this year, to me, like, or if they want to take the next step, because going into this postseason, like, I think they could perhaps maybe if one of the, you know how that Cardinal Devil magic works, like, maybe they can get into that NLCS and challenge the Dodgers or the Braves. Well, I guess they would have to play the Braves, but you know what I mean. Maybe the Dodgers. Like, they need more pitching to really be a World Series contender, in my opinion. So, to me, going in the offseason, if they do that, then, yeah, I'm going to be afraid of them next year. I'm already going to be afraid of them anyway, but, like, they add more pitching, then they can really be a World Series contender. This year, they got six more seasons out of their two studs in the lineup, and then they've had some young guys come up and impress. And Wainwright is still somehow giving you quality innings, and Miles Michaelis came back from an injury and has played well for them. But they're just, like, there isn't a lot to like with the pitching. And
Steven, did we get that super chat?
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
$4.99.
Hector. Cha-ching. We did actually know that Morel has a 20-year-old brother on the ACL Cubs, who apparently Morel says is better than him.
Ooh.
Well, so what?
Apparently Morel said that in the past, that really? His brother might be better than him. Or maybe I'm misspeaking. Maybe someone else had said that, like a scout or something. But I know I've seen somewhere that someone has said Christopher Morel's brother is better
Was
than him.
Was it Crawley?
Mm-hmm. It could have been Crawley.
Could have been Crawley. Crawley's on the
I like Jill's comment.
A lot.
Jill's comment also, he says, it would be very Cardinals to swoop Rodon right from under us. Yes. Now, that makes more sense to me. If Rodon goes to the Cardinals.
Yeah. That does that, sound like a
that,
move.
That honestly would hurt me more than Contreras going to the Cardinals. So
Rafael is Christopher Morel's brother's name, by the way.
Rafael
Morel. That's a cool name. I like that name.
Rafael Morel.
So Wilson hits number 22. He hit 24 in 2019. Meanwhile, the biggest home run of the night in all of Major League Baseball, clearly Nico Hoerner hitting number 10 on the season for the Cubs. Because
the biggest home run
we're
of
hoping
the evening.
To see Nico and Madrigal combined for 11 home runs this season.
Yeah, because Joey said it at 10.5.
We still have a shot.
In the preseason.
We still have a shot.
Need one tomorrow, baby. I mean, clutchest home run of the year.
It's the only thing that matters tomorrow.
I mean, yeah. Nico turned on that one today, I think. Like, that was a 95-mile-per-hour fastball in on the hands. Well, I mean, not in the hands, but it was, you know, inside on the plate, turned on it, took it out. You know, it was home run off the bat. I think he could do it again tomorrow. I think, speaking of which, like, Nico, I guess we'll get to who you got, right? But.
Oh, we can do who you got now.
You want to do it right
now? Yeah, we can do who you got now. I mean, Cody disrespected the game, who you got, and because he's wrapped up who you got by a small margin, small and debatable margin, He decided not to make a pick. He was too good for the game.
Well,
today.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing.
It's like the Yankees not playing the last two.
Here's
games
my
of
thing.
Season.
And when you put,
it's a Cardinal-like move.
When you my God, that's where we draw the line.
It's something. It's something that Yachty would do.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Here's my
that
thing.
That is not true.
So I bet I picked Nico and then I wagered 20 points. All the 20 points that I had. Luke wagered $100 and a pint of
you
blood.
You didn't wager. Points. I just said I would get 100 points if I won.
Oh, okay. Oh, did I not do 20?
You said
five. Okay, five. Yeah. I was going to do 20 tomorrow. You're right. Yeah. Five today on this one. Anyway.
But I said if Kiros hit, you guys each would owe me a pint of blood. In case I ever needed it, we were just going to store it in the fridge
also,
here.
But you also wagered 100 points.
No, I just said you guys should have to give me 100 points.
Anyway, you lost. I wasn't wagering. Cody didn't pick. But when he picked Kiros like 2 weeks ago
that
and wagered
gold.
3 points, you that gave him 3 points.
I gave
deserve,
him two.
You ended up giving him all three.
No, I gave him two.
No, gave him two.
Okay,
gave
so me, I should get
after
four.
He wouldn't stop arguing about it.
And it was a stave on Kiros. It was easily the pick of the season.
I disagree.
Come on.
Joey picked Yan Gomes on the home run that somehow
Yan
beat
Gomes
me.
Yan Gomes, a veteran. Esteban Kiros is going to have like 30 games of big league play.
But he picked the only guy that could have beat Nico that game. Like
right,
Kiros had the only
good point. How many points does Maverick get, however?
Maverick hasn't made a point since Top Gun. Yeah. At Wrigley
we can't
Field.
Play the Maverick music. Steven so told us he won, and not on his watch.
I won, clearly, and I think I deserve at least 4 points.
You wagered five.
Yeah, so I said I deserve at least four if you're not going to give me all five.
No, I'll give you all five.
Oh, okay, there we go.
I play fair, believe it or not. Wait okay?
So I start the trend by saying I deserve 3 points.
No, but you didn't wager them. I did.
Esteban Kiros, and I got two.
But you didn't wager them.
Well, that was also you the first time this whole thing happened. We talked about going into these last few games that you could wager points. And like,
oh, yeah, I didn't know we'd actually officially were going to do it, though, because
I
thought that we decided the game was over.
No, he did. He decided the game was over.
I didn't decide shit.
Well, but that's why you didn't make a pick today.
No,
exactly.
We decided it was over.
Because I thought it was over.
We declared Cody the champ.
I didn't do that.
Well, Luke would rather me be the champ than let Ryan get points.
No,
it's kind of wild here.
Yeah, apparently.
points are pointless because Cody won.
Not if we
wager.
That's
why I picked Kiros, just for fun.
Oh, is that what it was? Because what if Kiros would have had a...
Well, then we would have celebrated it duly.
Oh, we would have. Would we have stuck?
Yeah, he picked Kiros just for fun, but he also tried to switch to Contreras after Kiros struck out.
Struck out in his first at bat. He didn't look good.
Anyway.
He didn't look good.
Anyway, I'll make a pick tomorrow. Y'all are both tied at 26.
If I wanted to win today, I would have taken the ass, man, because I knew he was going to give you 5 1/3 shutout again.
You knew it. You absolutely knew it was going to happen.
He didn't give you 5 1/3 shutout, though.
Didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah,
oh,
I
yeah, he
so.
Did. Okay, yeah,
definitely
right,
went
right.
into the
those
sixth.
Those runs were to Keegan
they were,
and
they
to,
were in the inning after.
Hughes. Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely went into the sixth inning today.
Despite the fact that Keegan gave up, I mean, first of all, quickly, Assad, again, he's in the Sampson boat where he's done enough to be, you know, someone that you at least have around next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're gonna keep him around and see what you have and then play from that depth. And then, you know, we'll get to see Sampson one more time. But Keegan, I know he gave up 2 runs in the bullpen this time. But he got out of a huge jam that he had to come into. Have we decided that reliever over starter, or are you just going to kind of wait it out, look at spring training, see who they get, and then decide where you want to go?
Well, here's Keegan's stats. Here's Keegan's stats, or his splits, versus starter versus reliever. Clearly, he's been better as a reliever. Less innings, probably less outings, but... less innings, but he's been just a little, you know, he's been a lot better as a reliever, which it tells me that you have Keegan a solid floor. Like, if he's your multi-inning weapon at reliever, then you can be completely comfortable with that. If he's a guy you can go out, you can put out there and feel confident that's going to pitch or give you 2-3 innings maybe, of solid relief, like that's his floor. You're very, very comfortable with that. I don't think what he's done as a starter has me not believing he can't be a starter. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. in the middle of that kind of that stretch run of him in the rotation, he started mm-hmm. learning the slider. Like,
yeah, he looked
like
good.
But it's just like that's a brand new pitch. You know, he's trying to mix up the repertoire, add another pitch. And you know, maybe that leads to a couple more hits or a couple more home runs like during that time. Like it's, I don't think we rule out Keegan as a starter. I think it's kind of, you go to spring training, see what you got in him, yeah. let him compete for that. Just like they let him compete for the rotation and spring training this year. And then ultimately decided to start him out in the bullpen. Like, I think you go into next season doing that because you know that he could be a good reliever, a good long reliever, but you also want to see like, does he put in the work this off season? Does he gain command of like, you know, all his pitches and mix them well? And does he do that coming out of spring? Can they trust him as a rotation guy on opening day? Like, I think that's what they want to see in spring. And I think that is the right way to go about it.
Well, the only reason that I'm like, you should just put him in the bullpen now is because you've seen so many guys perform as a starter really well in the second half, right? Whenever he was performing well as a starter, I mean, the Cubs were so depleted that, and he was pitching so well at certain games that you're like, well, this guy could do this. But, like, Drew Smyly, like, if you bring him back, which he's not only has he said he wants to come back, but he's also just pitched really good in the second half of the season. And he was even better in the first half than we really expected. Samson, Assad, and then you got Kyle Hendricks, and then Stroman, and Steele. And Wesneski as an option. And then if you actually do sign a free agent pitcher, veteran or whatever, or a top-of-the-line number one starter, then, like, that's another one. So, like, to me, you've seen better numbers in the bullpen. Use them as a multi-inning pitching weapon, as they like to call it. And you can have a spot start every now and then is kind of like where I sit right now, because I'd just rather Smyly be a starter than out of the bullpen personally. And you know Hendricks is going to start. And, like, Wesneski, I don't think he's going to start at the beginning of the year. But if he is, he's the one that I would rather have be a starter over Thompson. And, again, like, will they sign a free agent pitcher? We think they might. But even if they don't, like, they still have so many guys. It just feels like at this point Thompson's going to be in the bullpen. And, like, it's weird for me to say that because literally 2-3 months ago I was like, this guy's earned a spot in the rotation. I mean, he went to Los Angeles, shoved, like, 7 innings down the Dodgers' throats. He broke the 11-game losing streak, shoving it against the Braves, who just won 100 games. Like, he's pitched really well as a starter against really good teams. I know the numbers that we showed as a starter aren't great. His ERA is over 4.5. Like, I get it. And that's probably because of his last two starts he has as a starter before he went on the IL were not good. But he had a really good stretch there between, you know, June and right before he went on the IL, and I think in August, like, where he looked like a very solid every fifth day starter. And so, like, now with all the guys they do have, it just feels like his best role could be out of the bullpen with Alzolay as a multi-inning, multi-weapon, whatever you want to call him, and, you know, let things play out, and if an injury happens, you got a guy right there who you can insert and be a spot starter.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm sold on, like, Samson or Killian or whoever the guy might be over Thompson. I just think it becomes a philosophical organizational question. How much do you value that high-end reliever that can go multiple innings?
Yeah.
It's changed in baseball. There's no question about that role has become more prominent, more valued. Is it more valuable than a 4 or 5 that you can depend on in the starting rotation? I don't know. I would love to hear. And I think it'd be difficult for a GM or somebody currently in the game to actually give you that answer, because then people are going to start comparing name to name and say, oh, this guy's more valuable than this guy. But you might find people that are out of the game that would say, yeah, I think you're starting to see that a reliever that can take the worst part of it, come in a bad situation and then give you 3 innings multiple times a week, might be more valuable to you than your fifth starter, for sure.
Well,
But it could also be your fourth starter.
Well, and that's why we were like, remember at the beginning of the season when he was like however many innings without, you know, a run allowed? Like, it
did
was
go like 16 innings or something like that?
Yeah, and it was like we were kind of thinking, like, is this guy going to be an all-star this year? Like, he was killing it, and obviously that didn't completely last. And when he moved to the rotation, you know, had some ups and downs. But, again, I just come back to the fact that it's – I wouldn't rule Keegan Thompson out as a rotation guy now. Maybe his best thing is to be out of the bullpen as a long relief guy, as Luke just described.
Somebody said Andrew Miller, an Andrew Miller type guy that can lock down at the very least two big innings before your closer.
Whenever you need him. But I'm saying is like that may end up being where he ends up, and that's, I think, is a very good role for him because he's done really well in it. But I also don't think you just give up on him being a starter just because he did well as a reliever this year, because, again, he's learning. I mean, I don't remember how many starts he had, but it was really his first full run as a starter. I know he had, like, back in September last year where he was starting a lot of games. I think he started some in August, too. I don't think you give up on him as a starter if that's where the Cubs see him. If not, then I think he's a good reliever, good reliever.
I'll say this. If Drew Smyly's not on the Cubs next year and they don't sign a number one starter, maybe they sign a veteran who can play in the middle of the rotation, then, yeah, maybe you can find a way to talk me into Thompson being in the rotation. But there's just so many guys, and, like, everyone's telling me that they're going to put Hendricks in the rotation. He's going to be here, like, he's taking up a spot, man. Like, if it's up to me, like, I'd rather have Thompson in the rotation than Hendricks going next year. But I understand the intangibles that Hendricks brings in terms of veteran leadership or just a veteran presence and the experience. Like, I totally get that. But, like, in terms of who's going to be in the rotation, who has a higher upside, like, we've seen all these guys do this all year, and now you got to decide who do you want on next year's team. Do they, like someone said in the chat, like maybe they flip Thompson for Shane Bieber because he's built his value up so much. You know what I mean? Like, if it's not Thompson that they do something like that, like maybe it's someone else. And then that does open up a spot for Thompson. I'm just saying at this very point in time here with 100 or with one game left in the season, it just feels like Thompson's going to be in the bullpen next year based off the numbers we've seen. But, yeah, I'm with you.
I think it's more likely. I think it's more likely he's in the bullpen.
He could be definitely a spot starter.
But I think it's still very possible he's in the rotation, too.
It also just depends on what, like you guys have been saying, what they do this offseason. Like, if they go out or if they bring Drew Smyly back, if they go out and get a number one starter, a guy like Carlos Rodon or something, like, there's not a whole lot of room in that rotation. And, again, you mentioned Kyle Hendricks. I'm the opposite. I'd rather have Kyle Hendricks in the rotation, not because I think he's better than Keegan, but we've never seen Kyle as a reliever. We've never seen him. We know Thompson can be a very good reliever.
I'm not even saying Hendricks should be a reliever. I'm just saying, like, he's on the roster. You have 1 year left. Like, there's no value to trade him because he's hurt. Like, so he's going to be in the rotation. So there's nowhere else to put him. So you have to put him there unless you cut ties in some way or another. But the Cubs aren't going to do that, and he doesn't deserve that. So, like, I get it. I get that standpoint. I'm just saying that, like, as much as I'm hoping that Hendricks can get back to 2020 form, all 12 of those starts, I'm not optimistic about it. And that's why part of me wishes that they would use someone else and, you know, I don't know, like, That's just how I feel.
You're not to the Hayward point with Hendricks.
Almost.
Wow.
I'm almost to that point.
Wow.
I understand who he is.
That's a bad take.
I don't agree with it, but I understand the frustration over the injuries and some of the bad starts that have happened. He's not.
Before he got hurt,
he was in 2016.
Before he got hurt, he was the same thing as 2021. And I understand in 2021 he had a stretch of like 16 starts where he was really good. But, like, I just
– in a Cubs uniform, he had a lot better stretch of success, a lot longer stretch of success than, well, I guess Hayward never really had one.
Oh,
Kyle had
that's
like four.
Comparable, yeah.
Five I know people years aren't where gonna he was like, really, really good. One or
he
two where he was
Cy Young.
Yeah, one or two where he was Cy Young caliber, like.
It's been multiple years, guys. I understand the greatness that he has put on with the kind of pitcher he is. I understand, but it has been multiple seasons.
Yeah, but to say you're almost at like the Hayward like wanting to cut ties with him, like that's, I don't know, I don't see it. I don't agree with it.
All right. Well, to me, that's kind of looking at it with like the whole like emotional aspect to it.
Well,
I'm all about results.
Pitching depth is so big, and that's what they've been trying to build. Whereas outfield depth is not something that you know.
Again,
you only have to have four outfielders.
I know,
you don't need nine guys for the season to play.
Again, I know Hendricks
unless
is gonna,
you're this year's Cubs team, yeah, then you do.
I know Hendricks is going to be here, and I know he's going to be in the rotation next year, and I'm fine with it. I'm completely fine with it. But I'm also, the leash is short with me. Like, if he does classic Kyle Hendricks in April again next year, and then it doesn't get better, and there's no shift, so he doesn't have the better defense that he's always had around him, I'm just saying. But again, I'm cheering for him. I want him to rebound and get to get back to half of what he was in 2020 for those 12 starts. I would love for him to even do that, especially with the shift being gone next year. Like, I'm just being honest that I'm not optimistic about it. The guy's a Cubs legend. The guy won the biggest game in NLCS Cubs history, whatever. And he pitched in Game 7. He should have pitched longer. All of that. All of it. I get it. But I'm just talking about in the moment right now. In the moment right now, like, I don't know how anyone can feel confident going into 2023 with Kyle Hendricks.
He's your fifth starter because you have all this depth. Now, if you were telling me you're counting on him as your number one starter into the season, that would be a huge mistake.
And I know, and he won't.
You're not alone. Lucas is saying he agrees with you.
Kevin Tappan. He won't be their number one. And him as the five next year is fine. Like, that's totally fine. I'm just, again, stating that the leash is short with me, at least. So
you know what he needs this offseason?
Some
a good dose of Green Ridge Farm meat sticks. Green Ridge Farm, a Chicago local meat and cheese company, offering you a better all-natural option. Makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks. Perfect for tailgating, happy hour, school lunches. These all-natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours. 16 grams of protein per stick, a perfect post-workout snack. Meat sticks come in chicken, black forest beef, flavors like jalapeno cheddar, and spicy chili. Haven't tried them yet? You don't know what you're missing. Delicious because they're made from recipes that are generations in the making, and being all natural, they deliver a fresh, flavorful alternative at snack time. You can always find them in the refrigeration section at Costco, Sam's Club, or your local Chicagoland grocery store. And right now when you order any three meat products at greenridgefarm.com, include a pack of meat sticks in your cart. Those meat sticks are going to be free by just using the code CHGO at checkout. Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat. Game time tickets. By the way, first of all, Cody, you did use game time tickets on Friday, correct?
Yeah.
When you went to Wrigley Field.
I did, yeah.
And good deal?
Yeah, I mean, I got me and my girlfriend's ticket for less than $40.
Boom.
Yeah. Alec in the chat also said he used the Game Time app to go to the game tonight.
I was trying to
tonight,
find
huh?
comment.
Yeah, yeah, tonight. I hope he clicked the link in our bio, but either way.
There it is. Thank you, Alec. We hope you used our link, please. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best seats on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you thought you never could? You know, 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert. It's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on seats you thought you never could buy. You won't find a better deal this season on upcoming Bulls tickets. Preseason started tonight. On the road, created by the fans for the fans, guaranteeing the lowest price. If you love CHGO, you're going to love Game Time, and the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. By the way, that Bulls preseason game against the Pelicans going on. Peck and Big Dave are in here tonight. Boy, they bring the juice, huh?
Yeah, someone said something in the comments about how, like, what is that noise in the background? It's them just being loud as fuck all the time.
I literally
told them once they're done, I was like, if no one in this building knows that they are not the loudest people here, then they are never here.
The amount of energy that Matt Peck has, I didn't have when I was 14.
And he's like 35 or some shit
like
that.
And that's when I was just eating, like, chocolate-covered graham crackers one after another. packs of donuts, and I could run all over the place like a gazelle. I still didn't have the energy that he has.
I'd love to watch Stucky yell or run like a gazelle.
We're at 9:22, and he's over there just like watching the game, just like bouncing in the chair. It's like, drink a coffee.
They are
just.
They are
espresso at 9:30.
They are vibes. They have vibes.
Do you sleep? Do you sleep at night? Sometimes.
Only when he sleeps, he only dreams about the Bulls anyway. So it's sometimes it's better for him not to sleep.
Oh gosh, I love this comment. To get back to things, I love this comment from D. Polos. I think is who
it's like.
Poulos. He said Cody is Madden with the short leash on Hendricks. I thought that was witty.
There it is.
Yeah, I know. I get it. A lot of people don't agree with me. That's
but again,
fine.
you could have Hendricks, and you could line it up where Hendricks is the starter and Keegan is your guy ready to go 4 or 5 innings.
Yeah, I just like
that's kind of that's the luxury of having a guy like right. that.
Now,
or a guy like Sampson might be able to do the same thing.
If the Cubs magically. And I say this because I feel like we talk or there's always like maybe a hope that maybe they would do this in recent years. But like if they decide to go like with the 6-man rotation, again, I don't think they'll do that. But if they did, yeah, to me, then I'll have a longer leash. But there's a lot of talent here, man. Like say they don't put Wesneski in the rotation, but he's performing well in the bullpen mm-hmm. early on in the year. But Kyle Hendricks is struggling. How long do you wait? And how like especially if the team is like – you know, hasn't completely taken off, and maybe they're competing and they're 500 or whatever. But again, Hendricks is inconsistent, like he's been the last couple years, and like not really giving you innings. But again, Wesneski is doing things. Like these are the scenarios that I'm thinking in my head to why like Kyle Hendricks is like, you know, making me feel a little down.
Well, but, just remember, he is the professor.
He is,
and if you have all these young pitchers coming up, it never hurts to have one of the smartest pitchers you've had in franchise history, there to be like, hey, you might want to work on this. You might want to work on this.
Absolutely.
Because while Hayward was great at doing that with Say and some of these other guys, Kyle Hendricks can – the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Like, this will work. I don't throw hard. If you do this and you throw that hard, it will work.
Well, that's another thing. I'm like, if I trust anyone, any pitcher to bounce back – it's someone that has never relied on velocity for success. Like he's always been a guy that mechanically was correct, had the command of every pitch, and could just make you roll into a ground ball. Like that's why Kyle Hendricks was so good. And if I know the mechanical issues weren't there for most of the year, this year, and a lot of that had to do or ended up having to do with his shoulder. If he can get past that, if he can get healthy, he recovers. I would trust. I mean, I get the short leash that you're talking about, but I would trust that a guy, again, who injuries aren't going to sap any velocity from him because he never needed it, never pitched with it. I would trust a guy that just once he's healthy and feels right and can get mechanically there, he can bounce back. That's why I would trust it in that sense over someone that needs to throw 97 to get people out, you know,
the mental aspect and just the IQ of the game. Yes, he is undefeated at that. He definitely has that, and I hope he uses that to his advantage next year. I basically said what I said because, like, I think I'm saying as far as what a lot of fans are saying, they want to see some of these young guys come in here and get a real opportunity to start with a competitive Cubs team. So, you know, Kyle Hendricks he's earned enough, you know, weight to be able to automatically put him in that rotation. I just, you know, I'm just nervous about it. I hope he completely proves me wrong.
The big story outside of Nico Hoerner's 10th home run this season.
But it's one away.
I thought that was the biggest.
One away from 11. That was the biggest. The second biggest story, of course, was in the American League where Aaron Judge hit number 62. And we saw the video of, we're all thinking, well, who's going to grab that money ball? You know, like who's going to jump down and grab that ball? And apparently it was a vice president for Fisher Investments. If that is the guy that jumped over the fence, like dropped like 10 feet to get the ball. Honestly, I hope he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
If you got that kind of money and you're that desperate to get a baseball, I hope he broke his ankle.
No, the guy that caught the ball is the one that was the Fisher Investment guy. The guy that jumped down was just a random fan that thought it was
going
to fall.
Oh, I thought
he
jumped down.
No. Oh, okay. Because the guy caught it, I think, on the fly.
And the other guy just fell.
And the other guy, I think.
He started crawling down, though.
It looked like he maybe thought it was going to fall into that little space.
Oh, he's like, I'm going to get down there before anybody else. Yeah,
I think that's what it was. No, but the guy who caught it ended up being, like, the vice president of some, multi-million dollar company. Like, it was.
Yeah.
It was, why couldn't I have caught that ball?
Right. I don't know how to say it. It's the most America thing ever that some guy with that much money got that ball instead of someone else who actually deserved it.
Ryan, if you did catch that ball, how much are you asking for?
I've seen $2 million, so I'm starting there.
Well, that's where you start, huh?
I'm starting there. Maybe Aaron Judge, because he's like 2 feet taller.
What idiot is going to give $2 million for that baseball?
A guy about to make
$300
million?
I understand what you're saying. Like, if somebody's going to give me $2 million for it, I'll take it. But like, what kind of jerk do you have to be to spend $2 million on a baseball?
I mean, Aaron Judge is like 2 feet taller than me and may be able to intimidate me into giving him the ball, but I'm definitely going to, like, try.
I'm picturing Zambrano Fontenot.
The Yankees have enough to give $2 million away. Yeah. They have enough for a ball like that.
You think that ball go, like, whenever that guy sells it, say the MLB wants it or whatever, if the MLB or the Yankees get, wouldn't you think they would try and put that in the Hall of Fame? I mean,
of
that's
course,
an American League record, right?
Shouldn't Major League Baseball just pay whatever the guy wants?
Yeah.
Like, all right, dude, here's the deal. We're going to get you $700,000 to put it in the Hall of Fame. Like, Major League Baseball, that's nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, to the Yankees, again, it's nothing.
Cut the guy a check for $500,000 and walk away.
If you were Aaron Judge, would you keep it or would you give it to the Hall of Fame?
I think he'd probably rather see it in the Hall of Fame, right? Like, more people are going to see it and remember what you did by storing it there than putting it on a mantle in a house where nobody's going to see it.
Wouldn't you want to be able to see it every day and just like remind you of what you did?
If it was his 74th home run, yes. But it was his 62nd.
Still short of Sammy.
Yep.
Was it 11? No, one short of Sammy's third best season?
Of his third best, yeah.
Won't let him back in the ballpark, though.
Won't put him in the Hall of Fame, though.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, you have the Braves in game 161 executing their first sacrifice bunt of the season. So, on one hand, you have a guy hitting 62 home runs, and on the other hand, you have a team that has their first sack bunt of the season with one game to go.
And it's in a game that matters, too.
Can't we get somewhere in between?
Yeah. The NL East isn't wrapped up, right? Like it.
I think the Braves just wrapped it up tonight. Did they? Okay. I think so.
So they did it in a division clinching game. Wow. So it was meaningful.
It mattered. And I wonder if they like saw the stat and then like, oh, damn, we actually don't have any sacrifice bunts all year. And then that's how they did it. I don't know.
Interesting.
That'd be funny though. But yeah, when I saw that stat that they hadn't had a sacrifice bunt, the only team in the majors at that point, I'm like,
That had to be crazy.
There had to be one, right? And then apparently there wasn't. So
meanwhile, the Cubs are over here stealing bases, like it's trying to steal bases, I should say.
Well, Jed Hoyer, I think he was in the broadcast booth over the weekend. I want to say it was Saturday. I was watching the game. He was in the broadcast booth with JD and Boog, and they were kind of talking about the shift, and they were talking about like what MLB is trying to move with these new rule changes, and Jed said something along the lines of like really exposing like what, like the athletes, the type of athletes that are in baseball. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to get not only more action on the bases and on defense, but like just more plays like triples and stuff like that. And doubles, exciting plays. Everyone says those are like the exciting plays. So like, you know, I don't really know where I'm trying to go with this, but it's
less
like,
distance between the bases now with those
it's
giant.
It's just like it's one of those things where
year.
Like that's what like MLB they want more action on the bases, they want more action on defense, blah blah blah, more balls in play, stuff like that. And it was just kind of interesting because it's like a, you know, for the last decade we've just seen a lot of homers. Lost strikeouts.
Less small ball.
Yeah, less small ball.
Which I always enjoy, because that's just where the action is. You got guys running the bases. Well,
people talk
bases.
About the Lester walk-off bunt
yeah.
to this day still, right? That was one of the most exciting plays from the 2016
That's probably
season.
Corey's most tweeted video.
Yeah.
The Lester.
Their Hayward's bunt. Grand Slam is the one you remember most from him.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Hayward did score on that
on that
play.
Lester one.
Yeah, I've never had anything really against bunting, but I do think bunting too much can hurt your team. But, and I yeah. feel like when I was a kid, I felt like anytime you got a guy on first, the broadcast will always bring up, all right, you sacrifice bunting here. And now it's like unheard of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
How excited are you, Cody, that the Brewers are not going to the postseason?
Oh, baby. This is my win for the year, folks.
This is World Series.
This is my NLCS okay, for the yeah, season. All right. That other stupid team down in St. Louis. If you want to talk to me about a good hate watch, I mean, what's today? Oh, today is the 4th. I read a tweet the other day that in St. Louis on October 4th for the rest of time is Yadier Molina Day.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's Albert Pujols Day.
Yeah, disgusting. when they play, whether it's the Phillies or the Padres, whoever, if you want to talk about a good hate watch, oh, my God. I am going to hate watch that team and whoever they're playing so hard. That will be my Christmas and my World Series when they're eliminated. Please, God, please get them eliminated. But that said, watching the Milwaukee Brewers be the frauds that I said they would be in April, you guys laughed at me when I said they weren't going to win a division. They didn't even make the playoffs. So, yes, I said this team would win 87 games. That was dumb and stupid, but at least I was right about the Brewers, and I can take that. I'll take a little solace in that.
I'm glad they're out. I'm glad they're out. I saw you going at it with some Brewers fans on the Twitter machine. Tell them they buy their tickets at Subway for $5.
Yeah. Also, can we just talk about this for a second? How come every time I like poke fun at someone and their team missing the playoffs or whatever, everyone's like, well, you're a Cubs fan. I'm like, well, if it was the opposite, you would do the same thing too. Like, that's part of rivalry. That's part of being a fan. Whenever the team you don't like loses, we enjoy that.
Rub it in their face.
Yes, that is literally sports. This is literally what sports is for, is to yell at your friends and tell them that they suck. All right? So don't tell me that I can't talk because my team had a bad year. All right? I remember in 2016 when my team won, and I shoved it in your faces. And I did the same thing the next year. It was the greatest freaking celebration tour of my life, all right? And then when things started to go downhill, I had to sit and take my L's. And I did, okay? Now, my team sucks, and your teams are taking L's. I'm going to let you know. That's part of sports, dude, is what it is.
Yeah, take your sportsmanship and stuff it, according to Cody Delmendo.
I just feel like that's like the reason we watch is so we can shit on our friends when their team loses.
I mean, that kind of is one of the most fun parts about sports is bragging to your friends when your team wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it.
No, it is, and that's why, you know, being a Mizzou fan and the amount of times that we lose to Kansas in basketball, and it, you know, sucks. It's hard. Yeah. There's a lot more L's taken than W's. A lot more shit to be talked to me than shit to be talked to my
friends.
So
when the Cubs, you know, spend this offseason and put a good product out on the field next year and they somehow either make the wild card or win the division, whatever, and if they win a playoff series or whatever, like, yeah, I'm going to take that W and I'm going to freaking ride it for as long as I can because it's been a tough, like, 3 or 4 years, guys.
That Brewers loss was the most exciting sporting event for Chicago fans until the Packers lose their playoff game.
Yes.
That'll be the next big one we have.
Yes. Can we put that up somewhere, Joey? I'll literally like hold it.
Oh my
God. Not in focus. That's his new catchphrase. Everybody can
day.
Do it.
I will literally hold it the entire show, the rest of the show.
Arizona.
Okay. We're right there.
Oh, you can't see it.
Can't see it.
Here we go. Here we go.
Put it right in here. Front of the Chicago Cubs book.
Oh, okay.
In the book, yeah.
Here, put it there,
Arizona Fall League, Mesa Solar Sox, Brendan Davis, home run.
I don't think you can see it.
Brendan Davis, home run. Nobody?
Yeah, Brendan Davis, home run. Owen Casey and Matt Mervis also doubles. in the Arizona Fall League today for the Mesa Solar Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know they were.
Mervis,
yeah,
Casey.
Yeah. At the beginning of the show, they were putting in here Brennan Davis home run.
Yeah, people
we
were
tried
there.
To get
we're
there. We tried
it.
To tell the guys, the bosses, we need to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get PHNX
out there. Help us out.
Get us a little something, something out
there.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's an idea,
be
huh?
Be sick, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we could be there, though.
I.
It'd be a lot warmer.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Although today was, I would take today's weather over any day in Arizona.
Yeah.
Today was awesome.
Today was a beautiful day.
Yeah. Top 10 day. I hope it stays that way at least for like 48 hours.
It is nice to see those guys. I mean, those are their lone hits of the day. But I mean, it's Arizona Fall League. There's good players in there, and
just
I know
glad Davis is up and
yeah,
moving
and hitting home runs. Like, like it's the pitchers that the Cubs sent aren't as highly touted, and I don't think they've pitched yet. So obviously, you want to hope that they do well, but you also want to see Brennan Davis, Matt Mervis, and Owen Casey, you know, hit the ball. And I actually saw a video of all three. You know, Owen Casey's hit off the center field wall.
I don't remember exactly
where Mervis's went, but Brennan Davis, you know, was off the bat. He knew it was gone kind of thing. Like, those are what you want to see out of guys out in Arizona, especially, you know, with Davis having missed so much time this season. Yeah. But then, like, Mervis and Owen Casey, you know, especially Owen Casey, I think is just 20 years old. Like, he had that aggressive assignment to high A. You know, his first, both them, like.
He's the Canadian.
Yeah, yeah. And long season, and then they're telling him, okay, now when your season's over, get ready because you're going to go out to Arizona and play for another month.
More.
Yeah. So you want to see those guys be able to succeed into that, and because that kind of shows them, like, kind of what it takes. If you want to, you know, make the World Series, you want to play in the playoffs, like, this is how long you have to play. This is how long the season is.
Right.
So to see them have you know, decent days, having good days to start out, like, that's I guess all you can ask for.
Chicago, you're already getting the best coverage for your favorite teams right here on CHGO. Now get fitted out in the best sports gear around. FOCO has you covered from Soldier Field to the French Room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles, FOCO. Looking for that perfect gift for the football fan in your life? FOCO's got you covered with hoodies to fight the Lake Michigan breeze. Check out FOCO.com or click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. Cody loves this next one.
Oh.
Chi-Town Cornhole.
Oh, yeah.
I do love Chi-Town Cornhole.
Chi-Town Custom Cornhole, the number one cornhole provider for Chicagoland and Illinois since 2007. Cornhole bags, call it whatever you want. Our signature box style design can be digitally printed, covered in vinyl, and painted. Cornhole boards come with built-in drink holders, recessed in on the back, LEDs that light up the hole and exterior, and handles for easy carrying, handcrafted scorekeepers. Veteran-owned and operated, we can ship anywhere, offer local pickups, specializing in corporate designs for your company's next marketing or social event, wedding gifts, gifts for all occasions, especially tailgates, and backyard barbecues. By the way, the next CHGO football tailgate coming up against the Bears-Dolphins game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, was it in November?
November 6th.
November 6th is the date?
Yeah. A little over a month from now.
Yeah.
Boy, excited. I hope the weather's still like this.
I'm going to have a few bundle more up. Friends out there than I did the first one, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I might have to bundle up a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
A little hot chocolate with some Tito's in it instead of a seltzer.
Use the Game Time app. Maybe go to the game. Now, you went to the game after the tailgate, right?
I did.
This last time? Yeah.
I did. Used Game Time.
He was very, very tired, but he went.
Oh, he went. Exhausted. No sleep. Game Time app. Oh, I'm thinking the only way. Well, it'll be amped up because I'm going to be there. You know, that's always big for everybody. Always very exciting. And number two, the bigger reason, Cody, you could bring Creed on maybe a compact disc or something and really boombox that baby.
With arms wide open.
That's what I was looking for.
Oh.
Will you take me higher?
We got Peck singing it now.
I'm telling you, the guy never sleeps.
I'm going to blare some greatest hits of Creed on the way home tonight on the electric scooter.
You're going to piss a lot of people off.
I don't care. I really don't care.
On the scooter?
Yeah, on the scooter. Yeah. I got that. I got like one of those JBL speakers. Just ride down Halstead, going 15 and a half miles per hour down in the bike lane.
Arms Wide Open and Higher, I think, are the only two songs I know from Creed.
My Sacrifice?
I can't
get it in my head, but that's like another popular one. One Last Breath is also good.
One Last Breath? Peck, do you know One Last Breath?
Peck, let's get
Breath. Other Creed songs. Do you have any that you know other than Higher and...
There you go.
Oh, Big Dave knows some, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's One Last Breath.
I hope you guys hear this. I hope you guys can hear this on the podcast.
I feel like Big Dave is singing Michael McDermott or somebody. So I don't know exactly if that's right.
I did. Go Marlins?
Go Marlins?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man. Well, we'll have to do this off air.
Who's Go Marlins song?
Creed, apparently.
Lucas is asking for some Nickelback.
Nickelback, see, that's what I said. Nickelback is.
Look at this photograph.
I like it better with the. I like it better with the "look at this graph" vine. Look at this graph.
I think Nickelback is disrespected. They're not as bad as they get credit for.
All right. Before we
read my sacrifice,
you can tell this team stinks when we're sitting here singing Creed and Nickelback here with one game left in the season.
Super chat.
Oh, PS5 that live. Thank you.
Shout out to PS5 Dat Live.
No, we should start singing more often. Man.
I'll sing for you. Won't be very good, but I'll do it.
Wide open.
No, there you go. Stucky's in on it. Before we head out, I just wanted to plug the story I wrote earlier today.
Oh, yes, please.
AllCHGO.com. It's locked. You need a subscription to sign up.
You can sign up, play Creed at the same time.
Yeah, you can do that. Man,
That's immaculate vibes at this point.
Like, you know, $60 a month if you do it for the year. Like, it's
sign up on points.
Deal. You get stuff from me, but you also get stuff like, you know, if you don't mind reading Sox stuff, Vinny Duber does great work. Will Gottlieb over on the Bulls. Where's Peck? Is Peck bringing back the pecking order? Dave, do you know? Is Peck bringing back the pecking order?
Yeah, they do pecking order.
All right. So pecking order will be on there if you're into Bulls stuff. Obviously, the Bears guys do a lot of good stuff. But, like, yeah. So, if you haven't subscribed, you should do that. But I wrote about Willie Harris earlier today. You know, Cubs third base coach. And I kind of, you know, it gave me the idea when the Sox job opened up. You know, Tony La Russa's not coming back next year due to health reasons. I already missed all of September. And I talked to Willie over the weekend. About the job, but also just about his interest in managing in general.
Yeah.
Because
he was a minor league manager.
Yeah, he managed a year in the Sox system, and 2 years in San Francisco system. But, I mean, he played on that 2005 World Series Sox team. He was a hitting coach for a year. He managed a team. So he knows the Sox organization really well. From what Rick Hahn said to reporters yesterday, it does not. I mean, Steven, you could let me know, but he doesn't want someone that has been in the White Sox
organization. Yeah, so A.J. Pierzynski, which a lot of people like talking about, he's got to be out.
Ozzie's probably not out.
Ozzie's got to be out for the same reason.
Yeah.
I saw Scott Merkin writing about Jim Thome. I would assume that's out as well. Yeah. So,
and
yeah,
he
not going to be a White Sox guy.
He wanted somebody with, like, recent playoff managing or coaching experience, so that eliminates a lot of those
which are also, you know, two things. I mean, that works against Willie because it's 2 years in Chicago. The Cubs are may end up like 31 or 32,
right,
something like that.
Probably
games
means Joe Madden's out. Joe Madden's out. They're not thinking about
yeah. But as far as where Willie's concerned, like he would love the job. I know he interviewed for it 2 years ago before they hired Tony. But just based on, I guess, Rick Hahn's comments, it may not be in the cards. But he gave really good insight in what he thinks a manager should be, why he's interested in that job, what he would like to do with that job, and, you know, just kind of talking about, you know, his interest in the Sox job, but just his interest in managing in general. So I mean, obviously I recommend it, but I might be a little biased. But if yeah, go allchgo.com. It's on there.
Get the membership. Get the free shirt while you're
at it. Yeah, get the membership. Yeah. Get the
free shirt. Don't have the membership. Get the free shirt,
too. Use code CHGO on PointsBet and deposit $50. Place your $50 bet on SMU plus three, and you get a free shirt, and you're going to win money because I promise you SMU is going to cover 3 points tomorrow. I mean, what else? I just did an ad for PointsBet, and we don't even have PointsBet ad to do in this show.
No,
today.
We don't have one. But by the way, PS5 Dad Lie says Dale Swaim has grit. That's a good point.
He's got grit.
And Ricky Renteria.
I'm a big grit guy.
I still say Ricky Renteria should walk in and say, "I guess it was all my fault." Drop the microphone.
There you go.
Walk out.
There you go. Willie Harris. You know, I'm not a manager evaluator guy. But the guy wears Jordan 1s every day at third base. He is a vibe. And
a vibe.
If
you're
he's got great celebrations. The one most notably with Patrick Wisdom on his home run trot. I mean, vibes, 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 baby. You know, I'm the vibe. I enjoy vibes. Like, if you're here for vibes, like Willie Harris, there you go.
Oh, my God.
This is the most Creed we've ever known.
Lucas said he's a member, so thank you, Lucas.
Thank you, Lucas.
Appreciate you.
It's going to change. Is this legal to be doing right
Probably
now?
Probably not. I'll stop. It was if somebody rang my phone. There's nothing they can say about that. We weren't playing the music on the show. I can't help that my phone is ringing and playing Creed. It's my ringtone.
I heard Jason Hayward's looking for a job. Yeah, we were actually talking with Sean a little bit. Jason Hayward actually kind of makes a little bit of sense for the Sox like a minor league like invite type thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wants to play. I thought you were like talking about
manager. I'm just reading comments here.
He wants to play.
Vibing here at the end.
We got one more to go. Will Adrian Sampson shove one more time?
Perhaps.
He may. Well, what was my stat? It was one of eight starting pitchers. Six innings, one earned run or less, something like that, all season.
And I
a streak, and then six straight games, like or five
he's
straight
like
games.
18 starts now. He's like it's not a small sample size. His ERA is barely three.
It's been since the end of June. I think June 24th or 25th was his first. Was when he got called back up. I don't remember if he started that night, but he was. Yeah, he's been. It's been 3 months of him being good. Like he hasn't really ever got blown up on. He's had really, really good starts. Man, but we'll talk about it tomorrow. But again, I think Sampson just pitched his way onto the 2023 team.
Yeah, it's been exciting. He's been one of the few bright spots. I'm excited to see it. And also, I wouldn't want to end the season on a sweep of thanks to the Cincinnati Reds, especially with how well they played over the last two or three weeks. So hopefully they win tomorrow so we can end the season on a high note.
Push to 74.
Push to 74. I was really banking on that over 75.5, and they made me sweat it.
Well, whoever still had that 73.5 still sweating it out.
If you had the 73, you got a big sweat tomorrow, brother. You got a big sweat tomorrow. Feel better and just bet SMU plus three. Thank you.
Yeah. Cubs lose. First of all, I can't believe they gave up a 2-0 lead, but that's what happens. Everyone's
what was your favorite part of the 2-0 lead, Luke?
You didn't tweet that out. Kiro strikeout in the first inning.
No, I did tweet it out with the score graphic, Ryan.
Got another call. Another call.
All right.
All right, anyways. Really, everybody in the chat's been awesome tonight. Thanks to everybody that showed up. Game 161.
Hit that
still
like
going
button
strong.
On your way out of here.
Again, we're going to be doing shows at 1:20 in the off season. So just because tomorrow's the last game, if you're going to miss the last game's post-game show.
What day is Jed talking?
Friday.
Talking on Friday.
Okay.
Friday's show will be at 4 o'clock. But then once the off season starts next week, we'll start doing them at 1:20. Monday, 1:20. Tuesday, 1:20. Wednesday, Thursday.
Both 1:20.
1:20, 1:20,
1:20.
1:20 start. 1:20 Cubs, 1:20 CHGO Cubs. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs postgame show presented by PointsBet. And we will see you for game 162, the season finale tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. Until then, fly the W.